Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into Jiva Materials. The company is currently raising funds on Crowdcube. We're going to be looking at that current fundraise, but we're also going to be looking at the opportunity for the company. The company has developed the world's first fully recyclable printed circuit board substrate known as Soluboard. We're going to be delving into that technology and what it means for the wider industry. And to do that, we're very kindly joined today by Jack Herring, who is the Chief Product Officer and founder of Jiva Materials. Jack, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
So as I say, you're currently raising funds on Crowdcube. So we're going to be delving into that current raise a little bit later on in the podcast. But before we get into it, Jack, it would be good if we started at the beginning, set the scene for Jiva Materials. And if you could give us a little bit of background about yourself and what led you to set the company up in the first instance?
Yeah, sure. So I actually developed and invented Soluboards during my master's in product design at the Royal College of Art back in 2017 now. So the project that I was given at university was to identify a waste stream and redesign how it might be handled. So making it difficult for myself from the outset, I chose electronic waste because that's one of the fastest growing waste streams globally, if not the fastest growing. But we quite rarely discuss it compared to packaging and some of the more easy to tackle problems that we're facing nowadays. So in order to understand where the real problem was, I decided to go to my local recycling center in London. And the thing that stood out to me straight away was just how many PCBs or printed circuit boards piling up in the electronic or electrical sections. When I asked one of the workers how they're recycled, the answer was that in most cases they typically aren't. And the reason because of that is down to the standard materials. So typically the PCBs are made of epoxy resin and fiberglass. There's an element of chemical bonding in production of that material. So the materials inside those PCBs can't really be processed very efficiently at end of life. So to me, that made it clear that if electronics were going to come circular, then we had to start with the actual board itself. So while I was at university, I started from the bottom up, did some amateur material science, and I replaced the glass fibers that you typically find with natural fibers and the epoxy resin with a naturally derived biodegradable alternative. So I built the first proof of concept while I was at uni still, and my tutors then encouraged me to actually engage with industry leaders, and that is when I was introduced to Steve Driver, who owned a PCB factory in Waterlooville at the time, and Steve now happens to be our CEO. So I visited the factory, saw the whole production process for PCB production from end to end, and after that I sat down with Steve. He said, look, this is interesting, but it's a very ambitious problem that you're trying to solve. If you want really to make this happen, it's going to take some time and investment, but it's definitely worth trying. And that was really the moment when Jiva began for me. And 8 years later, over £3.5 million of funding later, here we are.
Very comprehensive introduction, Jack. Fascinating to hear how the business started. And you did highlight a real pain point for the industry at this point in time in terms of some of the materials within circuit boards not being able to be recycled. Of course, you're providing a solution to this. But I'm sure investors listening to this will be interested in hearing how big is the market for you, and you know, what's the opportunity for Jiva in terms of sustainable printed circuit boards?
I think to start with, it's useful to frame the problem that we're solving. So there's two main issues in electronics that we're tackling. The first is the carbon footprint of PCBs. So typically those incumbent materials made of glass fiber and thermoset epoxy materials require high heat pressure to produce. They carry a significant carbon footprint as well. And the second issue is the end of life, especially when it comes to recovering components, copper, precious metals, because those epoxy resins form a permanent irreversible structure. Effectively, it makes a traditional PCB very difficult to take apart once it's been made. So that makes this separation very difficult. As a result, most boards are still shredded or incinerated, and a lot of the value of those precious metals is lost. So a lot of the OEMs that we're speaking to have labeled what we're doing as a missing piece of the puzzle on the journey towards circular electronics. So I think if we look at the PCB market as a whole, it's worth anywhere up to $95 billion today, and we expect it to reach up to $120 billion by 2030. But within that, we're focusing on the lower carbon, more sustainable green materials market segment, which is growing every year, as you can imagine, from the demand that we're seeing now from OEMs. And we expect that by 2030, that will be about $3.5 billion in terms of market value. The demands for things like digital product passports and the regulation of scope 1 to 3 emissions are now pushing these electronics manufacturers to show the evidence of recyclability, traceability at the end of life. So that shift towards a world with greener electronics is definitely underway.
Just listening to your answer there, Jack, it strikes me the printed circuit board is a particularly timely topic, given what's happening in the world at the moment with AI. Of course, AI infrastructure is a hot topic. For listeners that want to get a bit of context into, you know, where PCBs sit in that supply chain and technology stack to some extent, could you give us an idea of, you know, what printed circuit boards are and, you know, how they could be used in AI infrastructure, for example?
Effectively, a printed circuit board is what we refer to as a PCB, and typically they are built from a material called FR4, which is a composite material made by combining the glass fiber with the thermoset epoxy resin and some flame retardant material in there as well, which is where the FR part comes from. So once that whole system cures, that's the point where it becomes permanent and it can't be separated, and that's what makes the recycling very difficult. So that effectively locks in precious metals and the copper into the PCB. But we take a different approach. So we're using a thermoplastic matrix, which helps combine our natural fibers with our bio-derived polymer, which is also biodegradable, and that gives us a lower density than FR4, and it's also far more energy efficient to produce. So that allows us to achieve a 68% carbon reduction compared to FR4, and we expect to be able to get up to 76% as we move into continuous production. But these PCBs, we're very dependent on them in our day-to-day lives, more than a lot of people realise. And as we look to shift towards AI, pretty much everything that AI is built upon is derived from PCBs. So we're talking anything from your phone, where you might access the likes of ChatGPT, all the way through to the servers and the like, where the actual thinking is done. So they're all built on PCBs. So we're only going to see an increase in that demand for PCBs moving forward, really.
Of course, operating in a very strong market at this point in time. But I'm sure investors listening to this would like to get some context in terms of what sets you apart from the competition, because of course you've outlined there a real problem for the industry and of course really good benefits for the world as a whole in terms of the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. But I'm sure we'd like to know a little bit more about where you fit into the wider market. I mean, is there anybody else out there doing a similar thing in terms of the production there? I mean, I noticed on your website it says that you're the world's first recyclable printed circuit board substrate producer, which would set you apart. Just as some context in terms of who you're up against, that would be great.
It's a good question. I think because we have been working on this for coming up to 10 years now, we do feel like we're the trailblazers in the market. So, but we are seeing that there are a couple of different approaches appearing right now. The first is a low carbon epoxy variant of the traditional FR4 material. So those materials would help reduce the carbon footprint to some extent, but a lot of the time the chemistry is still very similar to what we're using now, which means that the recycling at end of life is still going to be very limited. So in order to recover those precious metals, you still need to break the board down with harsh solvents or aggressive chemistry. So the underlying circularity is still very much the same as we are now. So the second option that we're seeing is a movement towards bio-based materials or bio-derived, biogenic materials. So that does help reduce the carbon footprint a lot more significantly than the first option. But we are seeing that a lot of those solutions are relatively early stage, quite low technology readiness levels right now. They haven't gone through the scale-up reliability testing or industry qualification required for deployment into the industry. And they are promising, but they're earlier on in the journey. And because we have been working on this for so long, we do have a bit of a head start, which the OEMs are really dependent on now as they look towards their targets that they have for 2030.
So what does the traction look like so far? You know, you say you've been on an 8-year journey. What are the key milestones for you? And you have alluded to conversations with the industry, but what did they look like? What's the feedback that you're getting from these potential customers? And, you know, how are they positioning Geva within their thinking for the future in terms of bringing it into their production lines?
It's been a great journey so far. I mean, I've been here since the beginning, very literally. So I've seen how the material has evolved over the years with the input of all of the industry experts that we're working with. We've worked with over 60 OEMs right now in various different market segments, from consumer electronics, computing, peripherals, lighting. And it's great to see now that our SolidBoard PCBs have been fabricated, assembled in several high volume potential PCB formats. So it's gone far beyond the lab into real production scaling. So we're collaborating with OEMs like Amazon, Logitech, who are evaluating SolidBoard within their own individual sustainability and materials innovation programs. And those conversations are all about understanding how the material performs in their products, in their individual product portfolios, how it fits into their existing supply chains, how carbon footprints can be optimized in those supply chains. The overall reception has been really positive, mainly because it just fits with the problem that we're facing. I think a big thing to note as well is the fact that manufacturers can run our material through their existing processes without any retooling or redesign. So because we're now at a stage of qualification, certification, which is when technology really moves from testing into real world product specifications, that traction is really picking up for us.
One of the main reasons why we're speaking today is the current crowdfunding round on Crowdcube. And the question is, why are you raising funds at this point in time? And how are you going to be deploying these funds to achieve your goals?
This round for us is all about moving from pilot production with these OEMs to reliable commercial scale supply effectively. So we've demonstrated the technology, we've proved that it can be manufactured, and now we're building foundations for how we're going to do that. We're currently live on Crowdcube, as you mentioned earlier, until the end of November this year. So we've currently raised just under 1 million in this round. We also have over £500,000 of EIS capacity still available too. But the funds from this round will directly go into establishing our UK production facilities. So that will give us enough capacity to satisfy our early orders. That will support our customer onboarding as well. It will also help with our reliability qualification and also develop our early commercial orders with our global partners too. So in parallel, we're also looking at finalizing our plans for expanding it across the world as well. So we would like to implement a manufacturing line in Asia, where a lot of the PCB industry is right now, and that fits quite nicely with the carbon targets that a lot of the OEMs have. That facility would have capacity of 1 million square meters per year just for one production line. We're also completing our UL certification, so we're expecting to have a UL 94 V0 flammability rating, which is a key part of us continuing that traction with these OEMs. And following that, looking ahead, in early 2026, we will be opening our Series A round, which will fund the full industrial scale up of that production line in the UK and Asia. So really, it's all about building our capability and our readiness right now. And then next year, we will be scaling to meet the global demand that we're facing.
Certainly some exciting times ahead for Geva. But one thing, Jack, that investors that are considering coming into this round always like to hear, and of course, you know, there can be no certainty around how this plays out, but it'd be good to get your thoughts on what a potential exit plan looks like. You know, where do you see a potential liquidity event for investors in the future?
I would expect a potential exit to come from a laminate manufacturer that's already a big player in the game. They are seeing demand from a number of those players that we're already speaking to, and we are very close to within the industry. They're seeing a demand from their customers for low carbon solutions on the markets. And we do believe that we are the most commercially viable offering right now. So that's the most likely scenario probably within the next 5 years for us.
It's been a very comprehensive conversation. Thank you. Provided some real value on what Jiva is doing. But looking forward, you know, say if we look forward 5 years, what would you say is a measure of success or measures of success for Jiva, both in the terms of your scale that you're hoping to get to, but also the environmental impact as well?
Aside from the potential exit, which investors will be interested in, I think for us, or for me personally, success means that SoluBoard has become the go-to sustainable material across a number of high-volume product categories. And it's now a trusted part of how electronics are made on a day-to-day basis. That would mean that we would have multiple production lines operating in Europe, Asia, and we'd be supplying SoluBoard at a scale of tens of millions of square meters every year. We'd be fully integrated into materials libraries, day-to-day offering for PCB designers and OEMs. And it also means that we'd be seeing a genuine shift in end-of-life practices as well, towards a more controlled mechanical recovery and improved efficiency recovery of those precious metals as well. So I think that would be the point where circular electronics has become real for me. I think value would be retained from the materials that we're producing, and products would be designed with their next life in mind as well as a significantly reduced carbon footprint. So if we're able to achieve that, then I believe that we'd have reset the benchmark for how we're designing electronics.
Just a quick note to listeners, if you'd like to know a little bit more about Jiva Materials, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there'll be a link through to their crowdfunding page on Crowdkey. You have to get some more information, download the deck and get a bit more information about their story so far. So Jack, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.